Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is B'Metzia Daf Kuf Gimel. We are holding on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis, 9 lines from the end of the page. Bo'u Minei Me Rabbi Yanai. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Lea Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadin for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, Yisrael, return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today is the following. First, we're going to talk about if there's a dispute between the Socher and the Maskir, whether the rent has indeed been paid. The Socher says, I already paid it. Maskir says, I never got it. Then we're going to talk about a dispute between the Socher and the Maskir, when the starting point of the rental agreement was. They have a shtar that says that it's supposed to last for 10 years, but the shtar is not dated, and it doesn't say when it starts. So the Maskir says, time's up. And the Socher says, I'm just beginning. So what do we assume in terms of such a disagreement about the timing of the agreement? Then the Gemara is going to have some halachos about the meaning of specific languages that are used when you borrow something. I'm borrowing this shovel to dig this field, a field, fields. What do we assume that you have the rights to use that shovel for, or and other similar such cases? Then the last Mishnah in the Perek discusses if a rented house falls down. So what does the Maskir have to provide the Socher with in terms of providing him with a new house? Any specific requirements of the new house that he has to provide him with? And then, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to begin the 9th Perek of Maseches B'Metzia, and the Mishnah is going to talk about what the expectations are when you have an Arisus or a Chakirus agreement. When somebody's working a field on behalf of a Balasada, and he's supposed to provide the Balasada either with a percentage or a fixed amount. So what exactly is the expectation of the fellow working the field in terms of the method that he uses to remove the grain from the field, in terms of whether he needs to plow an additional time in order to remove any weeds that may remain in the field, and other such things. The Gemara is going to discuss whether trees are included in a rental of land, and the Gemara is also going to discuss who pays for various expenses associated with the field. Is it the Bal Hasada, or is it the Aris? What about the expenses involved in the security of the field and other expenses? Then the Mishnah on the very bottom of Amud Beis, we'll see if we get to it, discusses if a tree in a field gets cut down, or a Mayan in a field dries up, can we change the terms of the Arisus agreement? Because I was supposed to be an Aris on a field that had a tree, or that and that tree was producing a lot, or that had a Mayan, which made my job a lot easier. Now it's not there. So can we change in mid-agreement? Can we change the terms of the Arisus agreement when there's a drastic change in the nature of the field? So let's begin 9 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, "Boy, my name is Rabbi Yanai." The Chacham asks Rabbi Yanai the following shayla: Socher amar nasati maskrom lo natalti al mi lahavi raya. The Socher says, "I already paid my rental for the whole year. My rental payments for the whole year." The Maskir says, "I haven't received any rental payments for this year. Who has to bring the raya that they're telling the truth?" So says the Gemara, "Well, it depends. When is this conversation happening? Emas ibetolch zmano. If this conversation is happening before the rent came due, Rashi assumes that if it's a year-by-year rental agreement, so you pay the rent annually, and therefore it's at the end of the year that the rent is due, so it's still in the middle of the year, so the rent had never come due. So Tanina, we already know it's a Beferish or Mishnah, that the Toveya is Ne'eman, that the Maskir would be Ne'eman, that he hasn't yet gotten paid, because why would he have gotten paid? The rent wasn't due yet. V'ilachas mano, and if it's after the rent had already come due, Tanina, we learned that in the Mishnah as well, that then the Socher is going to be believed that he already paid it, because that would be a time where it would have already been paid. Ditnan, where do we find that that it's a Beferish Mishnah that discusses this? So the context of the Mishnah is not really about a Socher and a Maskir. It's a Mishnah Maseches Bechoros, and therefore it's a Mishnah about Pidyon HaBen, where the Torah tells us that a person is supposed to be poda his ben abuchar by giving chamesh shkalim b'shekel hakodesh esrim geira who to a kohen, and you do that when the baby is 30 days old. So the Gemara in Kiddushin says that if the Mishnah in Kiddushin says that if a bechar's father was not poda him, then the child has to be poda as atzmo. He becomes bar mitzvah. He's going to be chayiv in his own pidyon. So the child wants to know no, I don't know if my father was poda me, so what do I assume? Do I have to be poda myself or not? So meishav b'toch shloshim yom, if the father died within 30 days of his of the kid's birth, so b'cheska shalom, if you could assume that he did not have the pidyon haben, because who would pay the pidyon haben early? The pidyon haben only comes due to the kohen when the baby's 30 days old. Achi avi raya shenifta, unless someone is able to prove that there was a pidyon, that the father, for whatever reason, maybe he had a premonition that he was going to die, and he wanted to make sure that it got taken care of before he died, so someone knows that he had paid it. Okay, so if we know, but if we don't know, we assume it wasn't paid. La'achas shloshim yom, if the father had died and when the baby was more than 30 days old, so b'cheska shenifta, then you can assume that that mistama, he already had a pidyon haben, because it came due on day 30. The Rosh writes in Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, which is printed in the back of Maseches Bechoros, that as soon as the baby turns 30 days old, you have to be pulled to him immediately, because there's a medrash that tells us, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, Rabbi Yoshi Omer, al tikre, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, el Ushmartem es ha-mitzvos. That that just like we're not machmitz a matzah, we're not machmitz a mitzvah. Just like you don't let a matzah rise and just sit there and lie dormant without you handling it, so a mitzvah also, you have to do it right away. You can't be machmitzin the mitzvos, and therefore the mitzvah pidyon haben is included in that as well. As soon as day 30 comes, as soon as the baby is 30 days old, so the father has an obligation to do the pidyon haben immediately. The Rashash in Maseches Menachos says, ooh, so you see from here that it's not really a violation of a mitzvah saseh to delay a mitzvah, because if it were a violation of a mitzvah saseh, so forget about chazaka parei adam toch zmano, that a person will be parei b'toch zmano, and as you see, that a person is not parei b'toch zmano, but he's not parei late either, he pays on time, and we have a riot from pidyon haben. L'chora, one could have argued pidyon haben is different, because it's a mitzvah, and you don't want to be mevatel a mitzvah. So when you do pidyon haben late, maybe that would be a bitul mitzvah saseh, and that's why we have a chazaka by pidyon haben that it's different. So from the fact that we bring a riot from pidyon haben to regular dine mamonis interactions tells you that delaying a mitzvah is not considered a bitul mitzvah, and it's purely a matter of dine mamonis. So we hear also, and that's why we're able to use that as a model for a regular case of dine mamonis, where there's no independent mitzvah that a person has of paying the schirus. It's just a regular dine mamonis arrangement. It could be that by pidyon haben in general, we work with regular dine mamonis halachos. You have a case where you're not sure if the child is chayiv in pidyon haben. The most common case is that the mother had a previous pregnancy that ended in miscarriage. So if it was a very late term miscarriage, so then there's no shaila, you don't need a pidyon haben. If it was very, very early, sometimes people call 4 weeks pregnant. That's not pregnant, you just had a period. It's not considered a pregnancy. So there is a window of time in between, let's say 40 days and 3 months, where it's at least a suffix whether there's a chiyuv pidyon haben or not. So then, whether the next child requires a pidyon haben may depend on hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. May all depend on being motzi mechavero alav haraya on dine mamonis, as opposed to suffix daraisa l'chumra, where you have a mitzvah to do. So anyway, the Rashash suggests, though, that when it comes to bittul mitzvos in general, to delaying mitzvos in general, it does not have a din of a bittul mitzvah. I think Rav Shachter likes to quote a Chazon Ish where he says otherwise, where he says that delaying a mitzvah is considered bittul mitzvah. The big nafkamina would be when a young couple gets married and they decide, we're not so ready to have children yet. We want to wait a little bit to have children. So do you say, okay, it's up to you, as long as you do the mitzvah eventually. Eventually, you have mitzvah puravu, you got to take care of it eventually. Or do we say, no, delaying a mitzvah is a bittul mitzvah. So to say that you're going to do a mitzvah later on, when you have an opportunity to do the mitzvah earlier, that might constitute a bittul mitzvah. But anyway, so over here we said, so if it's la'achar shloshim yom, so it's b'cheska shenifta, atshirma l'shalo nifta. Unless you know that there was no pidyon that was done on the child. So either way, the Gemara is asking, when would we assume that there's any suffix in terms of how to resolve the dispute between the socher and the maskir whether rent was paid? If it was betoch zmano, of course it was not paid. If it was la'achar zmano, of course it was paid. So says the Gemara, I'll tell you the case. L'tzricha b'yoma d'mishlam zimni. On the very day that rent is due, mi avidinish depar b'yoma d'mishlam zimni lo. And the whole suffix is, do we assume that the guy paid first thing in the morning on the day that rent was due? Or do we assume that on the day rent was due, he probably had not yet paid? He's going to wait till the very last minute, until the very next day. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tanisua. Rabbi Yochanan says, we learned this in the Mishnah that we're going to have later on in the Masechta, that a sachir bizmano, a sachir who demands a payment from the balabais who had hired him. So when the on the day that his wages are due, and the balabais says, "I already paid those wages," nishba v'notel, we give the worker the right to take a shavua that he had not yet received his paycheck, and then he can receive his paycheck based on that shavua. Sachir who deram Rabban Shvuale, it's only by a sachir who's asking for his wages from a balabais that the chachamim say he can take a shavua and get paid from the balabais. That is highly unusual. Normally, if I ask you for money and you say, I say you owe me money and you say I owe you nothing, that's what we call a kofar bakol. That is someone's kofar hakol. So normally a kofar hakol is nishba and niftar. He takes the person who denies owing anything, takes a shvua, and then he doesn't have to pay anything. We're giving all the power over here to the worker that he can take the shvua and he can get paid, as opposed to the balabais taking the shvua and not having to pay. Yeah, why do we give that right to the worker? Because mishum to balabais torah b'po'alav, we assume that the balabais is so busy, he's got so many workers, he's got so much going on, he's not going to really remember whether he paid this particular employee or not. So the chachamim took the shvua from the balabais, knowing that he likely doesn't really know, and instead imposed that shavua on the sachir, so that he can get paid. Aval hacha, but in a regular case where there's no such svara that the guy is so busy that with so many workers that he's not going to be able to keep track, a regular case, so where you have a socher and a maskir, then socher mehemen, then b'shvua, then the socher is going to be neman with the shvua to say, I'm not going to pay again because I already did pay. It's a regular case of a kofar akol, so the socher should be able to take a shvua and say that I've already paid and therefore I don't have to pay. So again, the first case we had in the Gemara, the shaila was, the socher says I already paid, the masker says no you haven't, who do we believe? So three possibilities. If it's betoch zmano, we believe the masker that the payment has not yet happened. La'achar zmano, we believe the socher, payment has happened already. And if it's on the day demishlam zimne, then we make the socher take a shavua that he's already paid it and then he won't have to pay anymore. Amar Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Hayman da Ogre LeBeisi LeChavrei LeEsar Shnin. If a person rented his house to somebody else for 10 years, because of the shtara, and they decided they were going to even write a shtar for the 10-year agreement, the only thing is they had a terrible lawyer. The person who wrote the shtar for them did not think to include the date of the rental in the shtar, and the sma on the side of Choshen Mishpat and Siman Shin Yud Zayin says, and it's worse than that. This lawyer apparently didn't even write the date of the writing of the shtar, because if at least the date of the shtar was written on the shtar itself, you'd have some frame of reference for around what time, around what date the rental agreement begins. But we have no idea when this rental agreement begins. So Amar Lei, so the masker says to the socher, Nikitas Chameshnin, you've already been there for 5 years, so you have 5 years left. The clock is ticking. You have 5 years left on this land. And the socher says, what are you talking about? I've only been on this land for 3 years. I've got 7 years left on the land. That's how Rashi understands. L'chora could have said, I've only been on this land for 3 days. I've only been on this land for 8 days. It could have been any number. Rashi Dafka picks a number of 3 years. So the Archonim work on whether that's Dafka, that Rashi wanted a Dafka say that it was 3 years. That is perhaps something to do with Chazaka, and whether the person of the Socher would be believed to just hide the shtar and say, it's mine, because I've been living here for 3 years. I have Cheskas Gimel Shanim. So Rashi Dafka says that the Socher claims he was there for 3 years. So Mehemen, we believe the Maskir, and the Socher has to leave 5 years later, not 7 years later. So Amalei Rav Acha Midifti the Ravina Elameata, if that's the case, that Rav Nachman is correct, that the maskir is neman to say that I've already given you 5 years of living in this land. So why don't we just say a similar case, that if a person lends somebody 100 zuz with a shtar, amrlei, and the lova says to the malva, prati chapalga, I already paid up 50 zuz, hachinami de mehamin, you're going to believe the lova in such a case. I mean, you have a shtar that says 100 zuz, so you can't, obviously you're not going to believe a lova to say, yeah, but it's half paid up already. So why is it that we're going to believe the maskir over here? I have a shtar that says I have to provide you a house for 10 years. I have to provide you with a house for 10 years. You're just going to believe me to say, and I've already provided you for 5 years. Why would that be any different? So Amalei, Ravina responded to Rav Achmi Difti, Hachi Ashta, that you cannot compare those two cases. Hasam Shtar Luguvainakai, when it comes to a loan, the shtar is meant to collect the money. So Misa de Pare, the whole purpose of the shtar is to be able to collect the money. So if in fact he already paid a portion of that shtar, it should be noted somewhere. So Ibayle Lemichtava Agabe, they should have written a note on the shtar that this is partially paid up. Inami Michtava Le Tavra, or give a receipt. You know, a separate document with a receipt that some of the money was paid up, because that's the whole purpose of a shtar, is just to get paid. But over here, the masker could tell the socher, the fact that I wrote a shtar is not so that I should have the manos to be toveya. So you should have the manos to be toveya 10 years of living in the land for me. But rather, it's so that you won't develop a chazaka in this land. Meaning, if you're here for 3 years, normally you'd have and you'd be able to claim that it belongs to you, when really it's only rented to you. So I was careful to make sure we write a shtar that says, no, this is only a rental agreement, this is only a lease. You do not own this land, and therefore, if Nachman holds the masker is neman to tell the lova that you've already, to claim that the lova has already lived there for 5 years, because the karka remains b'cheskas ba'aleha, and it's the socher's job to bring a raya that he has more than 5 years of time remaining in that land. Once we're on the topic of chidushim that Rav Nachman says about different agreements, Amar Rav Nachman taught us a different halacha when it comes to borrowing something. Shoel adam bituvo li olam. When a person borrows a kli from his friend and he uses the lashon that I'm borrowing this kli, and the term of the loan is bituvo, as long as the kli is good, then it's li olam. Then he's going to be able to use that kli forever, as long as the kli is still intact. Amar Rav Mari Brad Bashmuel said v'hu dekonamine, that Rav Nachman's din is only if the shoel made a kinyan with the mashiel to be able to use that kli. But if they didn't do a formal act of kinyan, well, then as soon as he returns the kli after the first usage, he cannot ask for the kli back. Meaning it has to be a kinyan that's made to show that this is a permanent loan agreement, that even though I'm going to borrow it today and I'll give it back to you tomorrow, but whenever that kli is still intact, if I want it on a future date, I'm allowed to take it back. That's only if we made a kinyan on it. When the kli breaks and it's no longer usable, so the shoel has to return the handle and whatever broken pieces there are to the kli, because he only borrowed the kli bituvo, calls man that the kli is still intact. Once it's not intact anymore, then it goes back to the owner of the kli. Amar Rava, similar halacha relating to lishonos that you use when you borrow things. Hay man damle lechavrei oshlon mara. Person says to his friend, "Lend me your shovel, lemirpuk be hay pardesa, in order for me to dig up this orchard." So rafik b'ahu pardesa. So he uses the kli that he borrows so long as he needs it for that pardes, because he said, "Hi, pardesa." And as soon as that pardes, he's finished working on that pardes, the kli goes back and the loan is over. But if at the time that he borrows it, he didn't say, "Hi, pardesa," he just said, "Pardesa," he just said to a pardes, Rav would be called pardes of the bite. Then he could pick whichever pardes he wants. It could be the biggest pardes in the whole world. And he can use that kli, calls man, that he's still working on that one pardes. But he only gets one pardes to work on, because he said pardesa in the singular. But if he says pardese, he says, you know, in the plural, orchards, Ravik Vazil Kol Pardes Disle Umadale Kate. He can go and work on every pardes that he has, and then return it only afterwards, after he's finished with every single pardes that he has. The Rambam writes in Ilchos Shelu Pikadon that if he says Pardes Stam, he could do whichever Pardes he wants, Bein Shalo, Bein Shal Chavero. That it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to even be his own Pardes. Any Pardes anywhere in the world. Whereas if he says Pardesim in the plural, then it's all Pardesim that he has, meaning in his possession. But he cannot start being working in other people's Pardesim. So Nuka Yosef explains, why would the din be any different? Meaning when it comes to saying A, Pardes, I would think I could do whichever Pardes I own. Why now I'm allowed to use it for any Pardes in the world, and yet by Pardesim we limit him and we say not only the Pardesim that you own and not Pardesim in the world. So he explains that the reason is because when he says Pardesim, which sounds like a lot of Pardesim, he doesn't mean that he can't possibly mean Pardesim that belong to other people, because then Ein L'Davar Sof, meaning the guy clearly doesn't want to lend you his kli forever. There are an unlimited number of pardesim in the world. But if you only ask for one pardes, so it's very possible that I don't care which pardes. You want to make it your pardes, you want to make it someone else's pardes. I know that it's a limited time. It could be you pick the biggest pardes in the world, but even that one will end eventually. You'll finish working there eventually, and you'll give me back what belongs to me. So that's the interesting chiluk that seems to emerge from this Gemara. Amrav Papa, Haiman Damle Lechavre, similar halacha, a person says to his friend, Oshlon Hai Gargusa, that I want you to lend me this spring of water, Vinafla, and then it breaks. The water, the body of water, the be'er, falls to pieces. The well cracks and breaks. So Lo Banila, the shovel does not, the shovel is not able to rebuild it and continue to use it, because the original loan finished and was concluded as soon as it broke. Meaning, I borrowed from you Hai Gargusa. It's no longer Hai Gargusa. If I rebuild it, that's a new Gargusa. It's not the same one. And therefore, as soon as it breaks, as soon as it's gone, the agreement is over. But if I just say Gargusa, I don't say Hai Gargusa Vinafla, and then it breaks. Banila, then he's able to rebuild it, and the Mashil cannot stop him, because the Shaul never said a particular Gargusa. He just said Gargusa. And if he said Bay Gargusa, I want you to lend me a place where I can dig a Be'er, Kari Vazel Kama Gargusa Ba'ari Adamisrami Leh Vitzarech L'Mikneminein. And then he can go throughout the entire land to try to find the very best place. He keep on digging until he finds a place where he hits water, where there's an ample supply of water, and then dig in that place. But for that, you need to do a kinyan too, because you're going to be able to use the person's entire karka to dig here, dig there, look all over the place for the best place for a be'er. So that you would need to do a kinyan in order to have such a right. The Ritva raises a question. L'chora, it's pashut that you made a kinyan on the karka, because she'ilas karka is only b'shtar b'chazaka. Whenever you borrow karka, there's always a kinyan on the borrowing of karka. So he says, no, when the Gemara says you have to make a kinyan, it doesn't mean that it's not going on all of the three cases. On lend me this be'er, lend me a be'er, lend me a place for a be'er. No, it's only going on this last case where you're looking for a makom to dig a be'er. That if you dig one be'er, even though you did a chazaka, that chazaka only works for that bar alone, but not to be able to dig up the whole rest of the karka. So there needs to be an additional kinyan with the kavana that it's for all of the karka. So that's what that line about the kinyan is going on. It's going on being able to utilize all of the karka. Okay, now the last mission in the parak. Hamaskar b'yis chaver v'nafal. Someone rents a house to his friend for a particular amount of time, and the house caves in, it falls down. So chayv lahamad lo bayis. So the maskir has to provide him with another house. Hayakatan, and if the original house was small, lo yasenu gadol. The maskir cannot impose on the socher a larger house. The socher maybe doesn't want to take care of such a large house. Gadol lo yasenu katan. If he had a larger house, so certainly he's not allowed to impose on him a smaller house. He wanted to rent a larger house. echod lo yasenu shnayim. If you had one large house, you can't say, here, take two smaller houses instead. Shnayim, if you had two small rooms, lo yasenu echod. He cannot give him one large room. Lo yivchos min achalonos. He also cannot give him any fewer chalonos. Lo yosef aleim, nor any more chalonos. Ela midas shnayim, unless they both agree, to that agreement. So you can't go changing the type of house that you can give him when the original house caves in, unless they both agree. If they both agree, you could do whatever you want in Dine Mamnus. That's always the rule in Dine Mamnus. When both parties agree, you could do however they want. So what is the case of the Mishnah? That if the house falls in, they have to provide him with another house. Ida Amalei, if the language of the Schirus was Bayis Zeh, so Nafal Azalei. Well, if it was Bayis Zeh, that I'm lending you, I'm renting you this house, well then as soon as it falls, the house is no longer there, and it's the mazel of the socher that it's his bad mazel that the house that he rented is no longer there. The maskir should not have to provide him with another house. The Ramban, well, before that even, the Rosh writes in the Tshuva, and it's quoted by the Torah Chosh Mishpat, that it's only if the house completely caved in and is gone. But if the house was niskalkal in some way, if it's just not livable, so then you have to fix up the house, because it's still by Zed, the masker would have to fix it up and make it livable for the socher. But the Gemara is saying, if the Lashon was by Zed, and that by Zed is just not here anymore, it just doesn't exist, so then it's the socher's loss. The Ramban raises the question, why should it be any different than when you're socher chamor? We learned earlier in this Masechta that when you rent a donkey, so he says, chamor ze'ani maskir lach, and then the chamor dies, the bala chamor has to sell the nevela of the chamor and use the proceeds of that sale to rent a replacement chamor for the socher. So why by the house don't you have to do the same thing? House caves in, why don't you say that the bala bayis has to sell the stones of the house and use the proceeds from that sale to rent him another house to be able to live in? So the Ramban says you can't compare a bayis to a chamar, that when a bayis falls, it's not typical for people to sell the stones, you just rebuild the house. When a chamar dies, there's no rebuilding the chamar. So what you do with a chamar that dies is you sell the carcass, because that's all that's left of the chamar. So since there's a different expectation, standard of behavior, when the thing falls to pieces, if it's a house or it's a chamar, and therefore when that happens in the middle of a rental agreement, the Ramban writes there's a different expectation of how you proceed from there. So again, if he said bayis zeh, so then it's a socher's problem. Idam le bayis tam. If he just said bayis tam, sa echan amay lo yasenu shnayim, katan amay lo yasenu gadol. I never guaranteed you this type of house. We just said bayis tam. So then why do I have to give you the same type of house? If you had a one bedroom house and I want to give you two smaller bedrooms, so I should be allowed to do that as well. So amrei shlakish tam le bayis shani maskelach midas arko kach v'kach. No, in the rental agreement they were very specific. They said that the dimensions of the house are going to be such and such, and that's part of the agreement. So it says, okay, if it's part of the agreement, like we always say in Dinim Amnes, whatever you make part of the agreement becomes part of the agreement. So of course, what's the chiddush? So Eliki also Rabban Amar Reish Lakish. Rabban explains the name Reish Lakish. Damar Lei, the Maskir said to the Socher, Bayis Kozeh ani maskir lecha. That I'll rent you a house similar to this one. He gives him a model home, and he says, similar to this home. So Vakati, my lemeira, says, okay, but still, if he showed him a model home, so obviously it has to resemble that home in size, in how many rooms. So isn't it obvious that you have to provide him with a home that's just like that? So says, no. You showed him a beach house, right? And he said, a house like this. So the masker will say, I told you I would provide you a beach house with a nice view of the ocean. So Kamash Mulan therefore comes to tell us, no, you showed him a house that had specific dimensions. So it's not only about where the house is located, but it's also about the actual dimensions of the house. And that's what you have to actually provide the fellow with. So Hadron L'Chashol, we now begin the next parak, HaMekabel Sadeh Mechavero. This parak deals primarily with Mekabel Sadeh Mechavero, with cases where one person is working in somebody else's field. We already know that there are three different types of arrangements that you could have when you're working in somebody else's field. There's a schirus, where you just rent a field to be able to, you know, run your own business in that field, but it still belongs to the balabai, so there's a term to that schirus, and you just pay an annual rental payment. There's chakirus, which is similar to schirus, except instead of paying cash of the annual rental payment, you pay X number of bushels of wheat or whatever it is that the field produces, regardless of whether the field produces that number, way more than that number, way less than that number, we set the agreement at this number of bushels of wheat. And then there's arisus, where it's sharecropping, where the fellow works in the field, and you're going to give X percentage of whatever that field produces to the bala sada. In this parak, we're also going to have some dinim of bar metzra, right? The dinim of if you're selling a property, you have to first offer the property to the closest to the neighbor before you offer it to other people. Or the bar metzra at least has to have the right to match any offer that you get. We're going to have some of the dinim of biyomo titein tscharo, that you're supposed to pay your workers on time. That's a din d'oraisa that that one has to pay their workers on time. The very first halacha, I was looking ahead a little bit at the Dir Shu Hilcha Shabbos, right? The Mishnah Berurah Yomi program starts in Erev Shavuos. So the very first halacha is that you have to spend a lot. You have to, even if you don't have very much money, you have to spend on Shabbos. You have to make sure that you're able to buy three meals for Shabbos, and ideally to buy nicer food and better food for Shabbos. So the Bir Halacha says, yeah, but if you haven't paid your workers yet, that's a din d'oraisa. So that would override the din midivrei kabbalah of having three meals on Shabbos, of spending money on three meals on Shabbos. So we're going to discuss that halacha as well, the din of biyomo titein tscharo. But let's start with the Mishnah. So makabel sad mechavero, a person, let's say an arisus, it could be a chakirus also for the purposes of our Mishnah. Someone is working on a field and he has either an arisus or a chakirus arrangement with the owner of the property. So what exactly are the expectations of the fellow that is working in the field? So makab shenago liktzar yiktzar. Lakor, yakor. How should we harvest? How should the fellow harvest the grain? It all depends on minhag. Some people like to be kotzer, where they take a sharp kli and they chop the grain down close to the ground, so there's still some stubble left on the ground. And some people like to be oker, where they're totally uprooted from the ground. So you follow whatever the local custom is when people go and harvest their fields. Lachrosh achrav, yachrosh. And if the minhag is that after the harvest, they go and they replow the field to get rid of any weeds that might be in the field, so then you got to do that also. Hakol k'minhag ha-medina. Everything goes with minhag ha-medina as far as what people typically do. K'shem shecholkim b'tevua, k'cholkim b'tevin u'bekash. And just like in the agreement, and in our arisus agreement, they divide the tevua, the actual grain, they should also divide the straw. Ukshem shecholkim b'yayin. And if it happens to be a vineyard, just like they split the wine, k'cholkim b'zmaros u'bekanim, they should also split the vines and the poles. They both have to provide the poles that hold up the vines in the vineyard, and therefore when all is said and done, and they divide those poles between them. So Tana Makom Shnagu Liktzar in Rashi Lakor in Rashi Liktzar Ushnei Makvin Ze Al Ze. Each party can insist to the other party that they follow the minhag ha-medina, meaning there's an advantage to each party in Akira, and there's an advantage to each party in Katsira. It's not like Akira is always advantageous to the Balabais and Katsira is always advantageous to the worker. Each one has an advantage for each party, so each one can insist on whatever the minhag ha-medina might be. Liktzarein Rashi Lakor, because Hai Amar, the Balabais could say, look, I want you to be kotzer, not to be oker, because be'ina detit ben li'aroi, I want to have a little bit of teven on my karka, a little bit of stubble on my karka, so that will serve as a fertilizer, and I'm not going to have to fertilize my field next year when you're not here anymore. V'hai Amar lo matzina, and if the Balabais wants him to be oker, he could say, I don't have the ability to be okay. It's too much work. It's much harder than being kotzer. So the worker could say, I'd rather be kotzer. So lakor eino rashi liktzer. If the minig is to be okay, so you can't be kotzer, because hai omer, the balabais could say, I insist on you being oker, be'ina detinokar arai. I want my field totally clean. V'hayomer be'ina tivna. And the worker could say, I need the tevin to feed my animals. I need a little bit of stubble on the field so that my animals can have what to eat. U'shnei makvin zel zel lamali. Why does the Mishnah then have to add that they could both be ma'akiv one on the other? We already learned that from what we just said, from the resha of the b'risa. So matam ka'amar. Now it's giving the explanation. Matam liktzar eino rashi lakor, lakor eino rashi liktzar. It's because each of them could have a taina, meaning one might have thought that that one of these methods is advantageous to one of the parties and the other is advantageous to the other party. So it's telling us no, each one could have a taina that they insist on either an akira or a katsira. Lachrosh achrav yachrosh. We said if the minig amakum is to plow after the harvest, you got to do that. So pshit, of course, if that's the minig, you got to do that. Lo tzricha ba'asud lo menakshi. No, maybe the minig is to plow after the harvest because they don't normally weed the field from while the grain is still mechubel karka. Vazli hu v'nakish. And this aris went and he did that. He already weeded the field while the grain was still mechubel karka. So ma'ad detema amar le. I might think that the worker could say to the balasada, haydin achish ratai to lo krivnala. The reason I weeded the field early is so that I won't have to plow the field later. So kamashmon di bayli l'fushelei. So kamashmon that if that's what you were thinking, you should have mentioned that. Hakol k'minigam medina. We said everything follows minigam medina. Hakol asuimai. We just went through different things that are minigam medina. What's hakol k'minigam medina coming to add? La asuye hadutan rabbanan to come to add what the brisa teaches us, namely makom shnogu lahaskir ilanos al gabe karka. If the minig is that when you rent a field, the trees in the field are included in the rental agreement, so maskirin, then it's included. Makom shenogu lahaskir ain maskirin, then they're not considered to be included in the rental agreement. Makom shnogu lahaskir maskirin pshita. Well, obviously, if the minig is that when I say I'm giving you land and there are trees in that land, that they're included. If that's the minig, so that's the language we speak in this town. So of course it's included. So letzricha dekuli al miyavi betilta. No, the case is that normally the deal is in a typical arisus agreement that the balabais gets one third of the produce of the field and the guy, the aris, gets two thirds. Vazili hu viave beriva. And this balabais was willing to accept less. He was willing to accept 25% instead of 33%. So ma'ud detem adamalei, I might think that the balasada could say, why do you think I was willing to take less of the crop of this field? It's because I'm giving you less. I'm not including the trees, even though normally trees are included. The chiddush is, no, you have to have said that. And that's always the rule. You could avoid so many problems if you just say everything up front. So you had to have said that. We said, minig is that they don't include the trees, so trees are not included. Again, pshit. Isn't that obvious? Says Mar Lo Tzricha Dekuli Alma Mekabli Beriva Vazuli VeKibla Betilta. That normally the Balabais, maybe we're talking about a case where normally the Balabais only receives 25%, and this Balabais is getting 33%. So Mal Detema Amalei, I might think the Aris could say to the Balabais, why do you think I'm willing to give you 33% more, a better deal than any other Balabais gets? Haide Tefayla Chatai Tidiafli Bi Lanos, because I thought you're giving me more. I thought you're giving me the trees. So Kamash Blondi Bi Lufushane. That's what you thought it should have been stated. So he said, just like they divide the tefuah, so too the straw. So the minigan bubbles, they don't give the tevin to the aris. If you find that someone does give the tevin to the aris, he's just being overly generous, and we do not learn from there that that's what the expectation is for everybody else. Amar of Yosef, Bukhra, Vitafsa, Va'arkafta. The mound, the three different levels of the mound that they build around the field when they dig a waterway around the field. So the dirt that comes out builds like a protective mound around the field. Vikari de Chizra, and the poles, the posts that hold the fence that protects the field, the Balabais. It's the Balabais' obligation to provide that, to pay for that. Vikhizra gufe da arisa, but the actual fencing material itself, that's on the aris to make. So kol demil, so kol ikar balma. Anything that's fundamental to the protection of the field, that you cannot protect the field without it, the balabais. That's up to the balabais. The tirusi yisirta darisa. Any extra protection that's going to be on the aris. V'am Rav Yosef maru uzvila v'davla, that a shovel and then something to spread the zera with, and a bucket and a vizarnuka and some sort of a clean kli that they use to water the fields, to balabais. That has come from the balabais. Arisa avid beya ori. And the aris has to dig the waterways that will make it easier to water the field. And we said, shem shecholken b'yayim, kacholken b'zmoros of kanim. Just like on a vineyard, they divide the wine, they also divide by the same percentage the zmoros and the kanim. Kanim haya viditayu. What kind of poles are there? Sabi deber rabiyani, kanim ha'chlokin shben ma'midin sakfanim. Every vineyard has poles that hold up the vines. So that's what we're talking about. Ushneim is sabkin as a kanim. We said, and they both provide those posts that hold up the vines. So lamali, why does the Mishnah have to tell me that din? Once we said that the Aras and the Balasada divided, obviously they were mishtatef in it originally, otherwise why would they both be able to divide it in the end? So obviously they both paid for it. So says Mar, yeah, matam kamar. That's exactly what we're explaining. Matam shneim cholkem akanim, mishum shneim sapkin es akanim. The reason that they divide the kanim is because they both provided the kanim originally, so they're dividing that which they initially provided. Okay, that's from tomorrow. We'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Everyone have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye. Have a good day. You too. Take care. Bye-bye.